Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. With me, as always, the above-average comedian, Dangerous Dan Law.
Hey!
And, of course, we have Go Thompson.
Oh, man. What a show to come into after the weekend we had.
You just got done a workout.
We had a heck of a weekend. Mark and I hung out with Empire in South Philadelphia. What a weekend that was. Anyway, tonight, let's talk about tonight. We have Mr. Ooh La La. He's going to be coming on very soon. He's going to be talking about the controversy he has right now with Michael Tartaglia, and who is the owner of ECWA, as well as the controversy with Papadon. We're going to get into all that in just a few seconds. We're also going to get into Ophidian. That's right, Ophidian the Cobra will be joining us. He'll be talking about his origin, where he got to start, all that good stuff as well. Then we have D-Line. They have a controversial story to tell. It's the story of them canceling the Super 8.
Dun, dun, dun.
We also have our first ever Wrestling Roundup edition of the show.
I'm excited for.
With Pro Wrestling Illustrated Editor-in-Chief Frank Kruda and referee Jimmy Dillon from the UWF, New Moon Rising Wrestling, and several wrestling websites. Now, what I want to do, I want to play some audio here. And what this is, Papadon on Saturday night won the Mid-Atlantic title. When Michael Tartaglia said that the Mid-Atlantic title, it wasn't going to be a title-for-title match. It was Kakoa, the Mid-Atlantic champion, against Papadon. And Tartaglia made the announcement that it is, in fact, going to be title-for-title. And, of course, Papadon won the match. It was a classic match between those two. And afterwards, in the dressing room, this happened.
Oh, Hall of Fame. I knew it. I knew it. I was secure the legacy. Fulfill the prophecy. Oh, Big Red. I want to introduce you to your baby brother. Little Black. Little Black, the older sister, Big Red. I knew it was only a matter of time before the trophy case at my speedy bitch's house. This complete Super 8 winner, champion, Mid-Atlantic champion, BCWA heavyweight champion, Hall of Famer. 2012 is the year.
Hey, congratulations, champ.
Thank you, boss, but I was cutting a promo. You interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
What's up?
You got a lot of gold here.
Yes, I do.
You got everything. You got the heavyweight championship, the Mid-Atlantic belt. I put you in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, you did.
You got the Super 8 trophy. How about you let me lighten up the load a little bit? Give me that Mid-Atlantic championship belt for me.
You want to be the Mid-Atlantic champ?
Yeah, why not? I should be the champ.
You're
the champ, I'm the champ.
And let me get this straight. You want me just to give you the belt?
Yeah, I mean, I took care of you, you know.
Want me to take care of you?
Yeah, why not? That's what friends are for. I thought we were friends.
We are. We're very good friends. You know why? Great minds think alike.
That's right.
But how you get your free t-shirt? This belt, hold on. No disrespect. You're the boss. Obviously, no one crosses the boss.
That's right.
All right, the number one rule. But this belt, this beautiful piece of jewelry, holds a lot of prestige.
a long legacy of great wrestlers have held this belt.
That's true.
Honor.
That's true.
I'm the greatest man to ever hold this belt. The greatest
you
wrestler
are,
of all
definitely.
Time. And you want me to hand it over to you. I can't do that.
Well, how about if I buy it from you?
Okay.
You got a deal.
You got a deal. It's mine?
That's yours.
We're doing business with you, champ.
Thank you, buddy.
Better all be here. I know I will be.
Oh, it'll be there. This is the new CCWA Mid-Atlantic Champion. Right here, baby.
Okay, so that's, Dan, your thoughts on that.
Boo!
Papadon.
What a sellout. What a sellout.
He's buying titles. He's going around town now saying that he's the Mid-Atlantic champion. He won it in a hard-fought battle. Joe Zanoli was following him around the other day and picked up some video.
Picked up some video of it, yeah. And
oh,
just
my.
What absolute disgrace to a great event. I mean, you took everything you worked for, and then you just sold it. And
sold it.
Just... That's not cool. I don't agree with that at all.
And we'll get into you and Papadon a little bit later on. There is something going on there as well.
God,
now, a little bit about Ulala's dilemma. He did win the Super 8 Open Invitational Battle Royal by throwing out Mike Tartaglia, the boss.
Good.
Tartaglia was trying to buy his way into winning that as well. So he tossed the boss, as Mr. Ulala likes to say. And he wins the Battle Royal. Now, by winning that Battle Royal, he wins the title shot of his choice. He chose Papadon earlier in the evening after a ceremony in which Papadon goes into the Hall of Fame, and Ulala receives the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award, is what happened there. So he picks Papadon for the title shot. Mike Tartaglia then takes a belt, smashes it over his head, and Papadon gets the easy victory in 17 seconds. So that screwed him out of the title.
Quicker than a WrestleMania match.
Yeah. 1 second quicker than a WrestleMania match. Joe Zanoli then said, hey, you still deserve a title shot, Ulala. Who do you want? He picks Mike Tartaglia. A little bit for revenge, to get revenge on Mike Tartaglia for screwing him out of what could have been a great matchup between Ulala and Papadon. And we do have Ulala on the line. Now, what I want to do is play his theme music, and we'll get him right on. Hello, is this Mr. Ulala?
Ulala! But of course it is. And
okay.
That swine, 17 seconds. You shut your mouth.
Oh, come on, Ulala. I'm just reporting the facts here.
I understand, but this little girly, and I don't know disrespect to the girls who actually can hit, but Tagliara, oh, the little baby.
So what's going on, Ulala? Are you still upset? What do you got to say to Mike Tartaglia?
That little girl, he sneak attacked me? Oh, he has no idea. I know how to sneak attack. I'll fix him. Him in his little red wagon, that little girl. He wants to just, you shut your mouth and listen. You know, not only did I not get my pizza that night, but for that little girl, oh, I am fumed.
You're fuming? You're going to fix him.
But of course I am.
What,
I mean, he can buy himself a title? Oh, he surely can't buy himself any good look, huh?
Well, he can buy a good hairpiece, is what I've heard.
Are you kidding? It looks like a Chia Pet Ron Wild sitting on top of his head.
Now,
you couldn't put a hat on that to tame it.
What do you have in mind for Tartaglia when you two finally meet on June 2nd?
It's a beatdown. That's all it is. I'm going to beat the yellow right off his back.
Okay, so you're going to beat the yellow off his back. Are we going to see a new a new style of offense from you. Maybe a French style of offense.
I am a fury of offense. Have you not been watching for the last 22 years?
You are a 22-year veteran. You did win the Lifetime Achievement Award. Now, what do you have in mind? I have seen so much out of you. What? I just want to know your game plan.
All you're going to see out of me is me beating something out of him. That's what's going to happen. He wants to throw something upside my head like that, I'll throw my hands upside his head. I'll knock the hairpiece right into the first row, and God knows I'll throw it back, that big matted mess he wears on top of his head.
Oh, my goodness.
Just good logic there.
That's a plan. What do you got?
Okay. Now, Dan, do you have something to ask him?
You asked my question. What are you going to do to Tartaglia when you get him into the ring?
Do you think he's not going to try to run away like a little girl? He ran at the last match when I came out to get some revenge on him.
No, I know he is.
It's a shame Guinness wasn't there to record that run. It was a record. He could have run to the border.
Yeah, at the end of the match between Papadon and Kakoa, Tartaglia was trying to interfere. Now, you chased him right out of the arena. I saw that.
I almost chased him out of his shoes, that little girl. He's such a baby.
Dan, go ahead and take it for a second here.
I got nothing.
You got nothing, don't you, swine? You're the one that drank my drink the other night, weren't you?
No, I did drink your drink.
You brought me my Red Ox or something like that, and
Well, Dean is good at stealing things from other people.
I do that.
Dean, Do you have bad outlets at your home, Dean?
Do I have what?
Bad outlets at your home. Your hair seemed to be in a bit of a wreck lately.
Any
problem plugging things in, Monsieur?
He isn't plugging things into outlets in his home.
I'm not sure. Ooh la la. We have a couple of callers on the line. Would you like to take a call from one of your adoring fans?
Oh, God help me. All right.
Okay.
All right,
who
is it? It's not Poopadon,
okay,
is it?
I don't think so. Now, caller, you are on with Hell in a Cell.
Hey, ooh la la.
Yeah, with whom am I speaking?
This isn't one of your fans. This is the boss. Are you listening?
This is hashtag
this
boss
is the
boss.
Didn't I tell you before not to cross the boss?
You shut your mouth, swine.
You crossed me not only once, okay, when you snuck in and threw me over the top in the battle royal after I already won the match. I already won, and you came in and cheated and threw me out. And then
you shut your mouth, fair and square.
You already had your title shot.
You
had, listen, I gave you your title shot last week, and you couldn't get the job done. Papadon destroyed you in 17 seconds. 17 seconds he beat you. And you know what? I don't have to defend my title after I just won. I just beat Kakoa that night. I destroyed him in a matter of minutes, okay? And how long do you think that it's going to take me to destroy you? Less than 17 seconds.
It'll take you 17 minutes to get that piece off your head. Are you kidding?
Let me tell
you
something. Papadon has been training me every single day.
Training you?
Okay.
Where, with Little Debbie's? You wouldn't know what the gym looked like. They'd have to drag you there kicking and screaming.
Listen, the only gym you know is Gym Short.
You're nothing but the swine.
What would you know about a gym? You never stepped foot in a gym.
Are you kidding me?
That's the only gym you know.
The only way I see you in the gym is
that
they were serving hoagies at that, you big baby.
You just wait June 2nd after I destroy you in a matter of seconds.
What are you going to do? Chase you around the block? To try to get you in the ring, you little girl.
Believe me, you can't even get up the ring. How many
you
times
shut your
have
mouth.
You fallen down the steps?
Time. Just
to, you have one time in 17 years did you make it up the steps? One time, that was it. This
you
time, you're not
your
even going to make it up.
You
your
know,
steps
I
because... have... Go ahead, Dean.
I have to agree with the boss here.
You have,
Dean,
to
have you been drinking
you
again?
Not
are you kidding me? Have torn this. I will tear him apart, the little girl. He wants to hit me from behind like a little girl. What's he going to do when he has to face me?
Dave,
he's
stop
gonna,
swinging the
he's
one.
Gonna
the
cry.
Other.
He's going to cry. He's going to cry like he cried when I tossed him out of the Battle Royal.
Listen, you know what I think I might do this week? I might have
oh,
to break,
tell me,
out,
Mr. Shan,
break
wow.
out some of the clips of when I was a huge wrestling star in the TWA 20 years ago. All right.
You're so old.
I think I need to put some
of
those when
mean,
I listen.
You baby.
I defeated the ECW legend, the Sandman. Okay.
Well,
maybe I'll
hurt.
Post that. Okay. Maybe I will post that online so you can
what
see what
A-track?
I'm going to do to you. Aren't you about 20 years older than me, ooh la la?
Are you kidding? If I looked as old as you look, oh, good God, they'd be wheeling me in there in a chair. You're nothing
listen.
But a baby. I don't understand how you try to buy the Battle Royal, you lose. Now you buy the title, you watch. I'm going to beat you. And if I don't, then someone else will beat you, and it's going to be ha-ha because your money can't buy you a title, and it certainly
listen,
hasn't bought you a good
I
look.
I didn't buy that title. I won it fair and square. I beat Kakoa so fast, you didn't even see the match.
We have proof of this not happening.
You have proof of what not happening?
Of you buying the title.
No, I beat Kakoa that night. You didn't see me beat Kakoa. I beat him. It only took about 3 seconds before I beat him. He had to rush out of there because he had to go cut my grass after that. I know it was late, but I do leave the lights on in the yard for Kakoa when he comes over to cut my yard. Matter of fact, I think
oh my.
If it's a
oh,
nice day out tomorrow, Kakoa's going to be washing my car.
You know what, Mike? I'm not sure if I like where you're going with this, so I'm gonna just have to hang up on you.
Listen, you better not cross the boss, Dean. Don't you
hey,
dare.
You shut your mouth.
Don't
cross the
don't
boss.
Don't you dare cross the boss.
Dean, end it now, Dean.
Yeah, he was
you guys
totally
getting unruly.
He was totally
just
out of hand.
Hand.
Totally out of hand.
Boss or not?
Boss or not, he was out of hand. Now, ooh la la, you have the floor. What do you want to say to Tartaglia? He interrupted you here tonight. What do you got to say to him?
So I'm going to interrupt him on the second. Yeah, this is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
A French interruption?
Oh, it's
going to
be an interruption, all right. I'll take on him, his hairpiece, it doesn't matter.
Sounds like a handicap match.
It's a handicap match.
Oh,
hair and belt versus Michel, ooh la la.
Now, the match takes place June 2nd. In Newark, Delaware, do you have anything else you want to say about that match?
Yes, all you fans out there, feel free to bring your Shamwell because there'll be tears again. I tossed him out of the Battle Royal, and if I take his title, you can rest assured he'll be able to row his way home. The river of tears that will come out of that miserable little swine.
Ooh la la, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming on tonight.
But of course, ooh la la!
Ooh la la.
17 seconds.
Well, we are back.
Well, that went well.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I you know, Tartaglia, I don't know. He was getting a little bit out of hand there.
He's shooting on us now.
Oh, is he?
He's shooting on us now in the ECWA Pro Wrestling group on Facebook. How dare you people hang up on me? You just crossed the boss. I think I made another enemy.
I think I made an enemy now.
And you stop swinging. Stop swinging, Dean.
What? What are you talking about?
You pick a side. Did you play sides like that? I have proof. It's all over the air.
Oh, my goodness. We are supposed to go to Ophidian right now, but he not quite there yet. He's probably traveling through time. So this weekend, we were at the New Moon Rising Wrestling, a fully loaded card. Mark, how was that? That was your first live independent wrestling event.
I got to be honest. It really changed my perspective on indie wrestling. Like, I come here this every week. I talk about it. You know, I'm involved with it. But I really hadn't, like, felt what it's like to be there. And it's incredible.
Now, what did you think of the event itself?
Just really great matches, really fun. Just a lot to be around, a lot to take in a whole afternoon, too.
It was certainly a lot. We were there before the show even started. We got there about 11 o'clock. It was fantastic. We had a lot of interviews. A very good time was had by all.
Dean, we got a lineup of matches, and by the time the night was over, I don't think I saw one of those matches because it was so crazy there.
The only match we did see that was actually on the lineup was Tank Tolan against QT Marshall.
Yes.
That was the only one, I think.
So,
By the way, that match was spectacular. Tank Tolan is just really just a guy to watch, man. He blew me away.
That is true.
Was the event already happening when you guys were still finishing the show?
Yeah, the event had started when we finished.
It was so smooth, too.
Yeah. It was the smoothest show we ever had.
It really was. It was quick.
Now, joining us on the line is Ophidian, the master of the snake style lucha libre. I'm going to bring him on right now. And here we go. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ophidian, you are on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. First question I have for you is, can you explain your origin? I know you're a time traveler. I know there's a lot going on there. Just let me know where you got your start.
Well, first, thank you for having me on Hell in a Cell Radio. Hello?
I'm here. Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Oh.
Can you hear us?
Sorry, technology so baffles me at times and how this works. You see, Amasis and myself, as you have stated before, are not originally from your time. I was from ancient Egypt, specifically what you refer to as the 26th Egyptian dynasty. Yes, our god, our deity, Osiris, has allowed us to travel from our time to now, to learn, to adapt your style of fighting in order for us to do battle with the Persians, who we are currently at war with in Egypt. You see,
now,
Osiris, when he sent us through time, he landed us in front of what was formerly known as the ECW Arena in South Philadelphia. When we came upon that arena and laid our eyes upon the combatants that were doing battle in the ring, oh yes, we weren't just mesmerized, we were enthralled by what was going on. We decided that is what we need to defeat the Persians.
Okay, so you adapted your fighting abilities to professional wrestling, and then you go back through time and fight the Persians. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, unfortunately, it didn't work out so well for Amasis and myself. We ended up, entertaining the fans instead of conquering and destroying. You see, we didn't come here just to learn and adapt. We came here to take over this time as well as ancient Egypt. Again, what you refer to as ancient Egypt. But we fell victim of entertainment. We started dancing and learning the ways of break battling and other forms of combat. So
now,
I decided to end Amasa's career and take his mask. And now I'm all alone, my friend.
Okay. And being all alone, how do you feel you can handle yourself? Do you think you can hold your own on your own?
That is a great question. Let me run down some accolades that I've acquired since being in your time. You see, I'm a former Campeonatos de Parejas in Chicar. I'm also the 2010 Rey de Voladores. In translation, that means the King of Flyers, my friend. I defeated M-Dog, Matt Cross, to earn that title. Oh, yeah, yes. I've also had traveled the world battling in tournaments in Germany, battling for NWA Gold in Japan, yes, as well as many tours of Canada and other countries. So if I can handle myself, I think my accolades speak for themselves.
Okay, now is there a place that will check you out relatively soon? Is there a pay-per-view or something we can see?
Oh, absolutely. I put my singles skills to the test against Ultra Mantis Black, the man who claims to be the most devious creature to walk this planet. See, he claims to be the most devious creature, but that's my title. And on June 2nd in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Trocadero, I'm doing battle with him live on iPay-Per-View. Oh, yes. If you can't be in Philadelphia to witness the event, oh, yes, you can go to GFL.TV to order the live iPay-Per-View and watch me take my title, take the title of the most devious man in professional wrestling.
Okay, Mark.
So you now exist on two time planes. How do you think this is going to affect the time-space continuum?
We're still adapting to that. You see, we actually don't exist in ancient Egypt at the moment. We're not there. I'm currently here. So, unfortunately, my armies back at home are doing battle without me, my friend. And we, unfortunately, have altered time and history a bit. I think we're losing the war at the moment because now we're here. And according to your version of history, the Persians took us over. And I'm trying to prevent that from happening.
Wouldn't that cause some type of paradox, however?
We'll have to wait and see.
Aren't you afraid of running into your mom or dad or something in the past?
They're dead.
No. Okay, that's not a problem.
Now, probably one of the most one of the famous things that you're one of the things you're most famous for, let me just try to get that out, is when you took the Runaways in CZW and you hypnotized them and had a dance off. Can you explain what was going into that moment?
As I mentioned before, Amasa and myself adapted the combat style known as breakdancing into our repertoire. So, when encountering the men of CZW, we knew that would be useful, because nobody, and I mean nobody, in CZW knows how to dance like Amasa and myself did. Or, so we thought. You see, we figured the Runaways would make our match a little hardcore, we'd take it to the extreme, you know, to pay homage to not only ECW, but that is what CZW, the Combat Zone, is known for. Taking things to the extreme, making it hardcore. And that's what they did. The Runaways powerbombed my partner, Amasa, two chairs on the outside. They body slammed me onto tables. What else were we supposed to do? We were out of our element. So we decided to take them out of their element. We decided to take it away from the hardcore. Oh, yeah, yes. and sprinkle a little breakdancing into the match. We hypnotized them. We hypnotized the locker room. We even hypnotized over 4 million people on the internet as well with our snake charmer and our wonderful and magnificent breakdancing maneuvers.
So I'm supposed to believe that when I watch this video on YouTube, that I'll also be gifted with breakdancing skills?
No, my friend, there's no helping you with the breakdancing skills.
Fair enough.
No matter how much I hypnotize you, you will never, never be able to breakdance. No head slides in your future.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Nothing can help you breakdance.
I've seen footage of your high school dance. I was actually there at one point when time traveling. I misplaced myself. And you look very pretty.
I think you're selling my worm a little short.
I don't think so, my friend.
Now, as I was saying, you are the master of the snake-style lucha libre. Can you break that down?
Correct.
I know we kind of went into your fighting style. You bring in breakdancing. But can you just explain the snake style for those who haven't seen you yet?
Now let me preface this with what you just mentioned. You know, breakdancing was something of the past for me. I eliminated Amasis. I demasked him. I took his soul, as well as our other partner, Hirokan, the other member of the Assyrian Patrol. I took his soul. I took them away from them and relinquished mine as well. You see, breakdancing was not working for us anymore. I needed to readapt. I needed to change my ways. I decided to acquire the snake spirit. And what the snake spirit has allowed me to do was master the snake style. Yeah, yes. You strike first, you strike fast, and you strike hard. Yes. My snake style will paralyze like the gaze of Medusa. Yes, and I will strike with the force of the Pharaoh's army. Yes.
Now, after May 2nd, June 2nd. What is the next step for you?
Well, you see, I'm under a bit of a transformation. I need to earn the right. I need to earn my soul back from Osiris. I disgraced him along with the other members of the Assyrian portal. We disgraced our deity. We disgraced Osiris. After I defeat Ultramanus Black, I can prove that I'm the most devious man in Chikara, and then I can complete my transformation. Oh, yes, right now, at this very moment, I hide under a red armor. Not because I am scared. Oh, no. No, no, no. I hide under that red armor because I am a disgrace to the name Ophidian.
That's pretty intense. So am I to believe that like a caterpillar to a cocoon, you'll blossom like a butterfly?
I think the correct terminology would be molt. I would shed my skin, my friend. That is what I'm currently doing. I am residing currently in the Isle of Snakes. I'm not allowed to go back to my homeland in Egypt until I've proven myself worthy. So I've discovered what you refer to as the Isle of Snakes. I'm in the temples. I've acquired the catalyst, the staff of Ultramantis Black. I've taken it from him. Yes, and I will use those powers to unlock my next transformation. I will evolve into a new snake. I will merge with the souls of Hirokan and Amasis and Ophidian. The three souls will become one inside the vessel that I am.
Oh, okay. Now, Ophidian, we already briefly talked about June 2nd, the Eye pay-per-view. Now, you said that's the Trocadero?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
That would be a great venue for wrestling. I never thought of putting that. That would be a good place, but that would be a good place for wrestling.
Okay,
if you
so,
need any more convincing, my friend, that is also the same weekend as the Philadelphia Comic Con. Yes. That weekend, we will be a part of the Philadelphia Comic Con convention, June 1st, June 2nd, and June 3rd. But we will be doing a battle at the truck because we can not do battle in the confines of Comic Con. We would destroy the entire convention. They needed to separate us, the combatants, from that. So we will be residing at the Trocadero while that is happening.
Okay, so you'll be at the Trocadero June 2nd. And you're also going to be part of the Sideshow Pro coming up on June 30th, if I'm not mistaken? Or June 22nd? Or I forget.
That would be later in June. Yes, that would be the third Saturday of that month.
Okay, yes. Yeah. I believe that's June 22nd. You are involved in Sideshow Pro. I just want to thank you for taking time through your time travels to just stop by here at Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Is there anything you wanted to plug before you get back?
If I may, this weekend, if you happen to reside in the Cleveland, Ohio area, I will be part of the JLT Lightning Tournament that AIW is holding. It is a TPI-style tournament. My first-round opponent, the handicapped hero, Gregory Iron. Yes, the weekend after that, you can catch me back with your car May 19th and May 20th in Eastern Pennsylvania and the Highline Ballroom in Manhattan, New York. And then shortly after that, you can catch me June 2nd at the Trocadero live on iPay-Per-View at GFL.TV. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, Ophidian, it was a pleasure. Safe travels, sir.
Ah, gracias, my friend. Oh, yeah.
Okay, everyone. That was Ophidian from Chikara. Wow.
I feel like, honestly, I may have undone some time because I talked to him. Is George Washington still the first president? I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm kind of scared. Hitler died before he turned 18.
Wow, that was something. So keeping with the theme of interesting things, wow, this night has just been like, wow.
We've really only been on for 40 minutes, guys.
I need a breath for a second.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Here
we're
we
taking
go.
A break. You're fired.
When in need of a break, I think there's never a better time.
Call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Yo, shut up, Mark Thompson.
Yeah, shut up, man. Trying to get a bump.
Sorry, there's a little lag every once in a while.
A bit. Tonight is, something else.
When we play the phone number, you shut your mouth!
Yes. What I want to get into now, there's an independent tag team out there by the name of D-Line. Now, they were scheduled originally to go to the ECWA Super 8. They were going to take part in the Super 8 Open Invitational Battle Royal. About 2 weeks, I'm not sure on the time, they can clarify that. About 2 weeks before that, they canceled. The Super 8, and then they people found out that they actually went to the Ring of Honor tapings that same night in Baltimore. So I have them here, and I'm going to bring them on because the phones and the switch and everything is a little goofy tonight, but I'm bringing them
working
on.
Working well so far.
Yeah, so far so good. I got them both on the line. So D-Line, just introduce yourself very briefly, and then we'll get into the story.
This Body Snatcher, Sam Jones.
Okay,
this
so
Black Ice.
Okay, now, like I said, you guys were scheduled for the Super 8, and about 2 weeks, I suppose it was, you guys pulled out. Now, did you guys reach out to Ring of Honor, or did they call you? What exactly happened?
Actually, you know, before we get started, we'd like to thank you, you know, for giving us the opportunity to come on your show and explain to ourselves, to the ECW A fans, you know, our side of the story. But actually, we received a call from, you know, ROH.
Okay. So they called you. You sent a package to them previously, and then you heard back from them as a result of that package. And so what did you do at that point when they reached out to you?
The thing was that, you know, we sent the package out, which, you know, all independent guys, you know, that's what we're here for. We work independent shows to build up, you know, good matches or whatever, send packages out to the big three. And the thing is, man, if you get a call back from one of those guys, you're going to take it. It was just an opportunity for us, and we thought that, you know, when would this ever come back around? I mean, no disrespect to ECWA, no respect to the fans of ECWA. It was just opportunity that we thought we should take, and, you know, we made our choice, and we definitely have to deal with it. But, yeah, it was 2 weeks prior to the Super 8 show. I mean, don't get me wrong, we was really, really into the Super 8. You know, we was glad that Joe and Mike gave us an invitation to come to the Super 8 tournament, because it's big, and we know and we understand that. But, you know, when it comes to that big three getting back to you and they say, we want you to do this show, are you available? Listen, we wasn't even expecting a call back. We got a call back. We was like, wow, this is big for us. Why not take opportunity while it's knocking at our door? And that's what we did. I mean, no disrespect to Joe or Mike, ECWA, but, you know, we just thought that was an opportunity that we had to take.
Okay, now things were getting a little heated, because after the Super 8, you guys, or one of you, I'm not sure, well, both of you were actually on the group, but you went on the ECWA fan page and were basically asking for a second chance. And things got a little heated. Can you explain that situation just a little bit for people that might not know what happened there?
Right. The thing was that it was, I believe it was Joe who was saying who won the tag team, you know, lose or leave the company match. And, you know, all we was doing was just throwing our name out there saying, hey, it's a tag team gone. Maybe that's an opportunity for a tag team to get in. And we threw our name in the hat, you know, not expecting the backfire that we had gotten from all of the ECWA fans. And, you know, it got real heated in there. And the thing is, man, we don't back down from anyone. If you ask us a question, we will answer it. If it's suitable to, you know, your question, we'll answer it. But, you know, it got heated in there, and we just figure, hey, why not throw our name in a hat? You know, we spoke to Joe and Mike 2 weeks prior. Once we got reached by ROH, we definitely let Mike and Joe know, hey, you know, we appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully we can work together in the future soon. And they was all for it. They said, okay, you know. And we thought they understood, and hopefully they do, you know, understand, like, the opportunity that was there for us. You know, we just took it, man, and we just threw our name out there, you know, on the ECWA page, and it was just backlash, which, you know, you guys know you was there. So,
yeah.
I mean, listen, the ECWA fans are rabid, and we love it. Listen, you love your company that much to where you're getting on us? We love it. As a matter of fact, we'd like to come and work for you. We want to prove that we belong. ECWA is an established company that's been around for maybe 30-plus years. You don't get that
absolutely
anywhere else. You don't get that anywhere else. And with a company like that, you want to be a part of it. So, you know, we've just felt that, you know, we'll talk to Mike and Joe. Hopefully things will roll over and be good. They bring us in. If they like us, keep us. If you don't like us, if the fan don't like us, if they think we suck, we won't come back. But, you know, we just want that chance. That's all we ask for.
So basically you're saying, now, are there any regrets to taking that Ring of Honor booking?
Cheryl, you can answer that.
Nah, no regrets at all. I mean, like we said before, that opportunity comes knocking at your door. Who wouldn't take that? I mean, you know, it was a huge opportunity for us in our career. You know, it came knocking, so we absolutely, you know, we went on ahead and took it. But no, there's no regrets, you know. Whatever we do, we have no regrets. The things that we regret is actually, you know, people who were excited to see us in ECWA, you know, as far as the fans and things like that, and was waiting and anticipating, and they didn't get the opportunity to see us. That right there, yeah, you regret. You're like, oh, man, you know, because you want to, you know, definitely, you know, please the fans, you know, those people who've been waiting to see us for a while, you know, and they had that, they was going to have that opportunity. But, you know, hopefully they get that opportunity again. You know, that's why, you know, we're just so thankful to be able to come on this show and explain our side of the story. You know, so we can get a better sort of fans can get a better understanding on, you know, what's going on or what went on.
Okay. Certainly, it sounds like you guys, you know, you took the chance. Hopefully something works out for Ring of Honor. Maybe we'll see you in ECWA. I'm not sure. You know, that's up to Joe and Mike. But I do want to thank you for coming on and explaining exactly what went down. Is there anything you wanted to plug before you guys got out of here?
Yeah, man. I mean, if the ECWA fans, you know, I mean, hopefully understand and understood the things that we are trying to do to further our career in the pro wrestling industry, we don't disrespect. First of all, yeah, let me address that. We do not disrespect this business. We started from the bottom, and we're trying to work our way to the top. And
that's right.
For people to say that we disrespect this business, they really don't know us. So, you know, just to all of those fans who say we disrespect this business and we went to ROH for the money, that is totally nonsense. Listen, we just want to get ourselves out there. And
okay.
We just felt that ROH was that national stage to get our name out there. ECWA is another way to go, but we felt nationally we're trying to get our name out there. ROH was the way to go. Hopefully,
yeah,
you know, things go well with the decision that we made. And so far, so good. We can't complain. But to have people follow us for Twitter, it is D-Line, B-L-K-R-E-D. Again, that's on Twitter. It's D-Line, B-L-K-R-E-D. And we also on Facebook, D-Line.
Yeah. And, you know, any fan, if they have any questions, they want to hit us up about anything, you know, we'll be happy to answer your questions. We try to always respond to our fans on Twitter. I mean, you know, the fans, without the fans, you wouldn't be nothing in this business. That's just point-blank period. So, you know, we show a lot of love and support to our fans and everybody who support us. We definitely appreciate it. And, you know, if you get, like, again, if you have any questions or anything like that, feel free, you know, to hit us up. We'd be glad to answer them.
Okay, well, yeah.
Hey, we definitely appreciate you letting us, you know, come on your show, man, to try to get our point across. Hopefully it works out the way that we wanted it to, which means having the ECWA fans, you know, give us a second chance. And, yes, we are
really asking
for a second chance.
Of the story.
Right. Anyway, you know, we do want a second chance to try to prove ourselves to ECWA. So, definitely, Dave, we'd like to thank you, man, for giving us this opportunity to come on, explain ourselves. And by the way, I love the Osirian Portal, man. Those guys are hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something.
For you to put us on after one of the guys from the Osirian Portal, man, that's hard to follow. We actually wrestled with those guys and a few other companies, man. Those are real good dude. So, you know, big ups to the Osirian Portal also.
Okay. I do thank you. Thanks for coming on, explaining things. Maybe we'll see you.
All right. Hopefully, man. We'll see where it takes us.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great night.
You do the same, bro.
Okay. So that was D-Line explaining their side of a controversial story. I do appreciate that.
I do too. I mean, I hope the right people were listening to hear that. Whoever needed to hear it, I hope they heard it.
Yeah, and as a fan of ECWA, another tag team certainly wouldn't hurt things. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm very much... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, look, I'm very much an outsider of the ECWA universe, but those guys seem genuine. And once again, it's very much to me like when a band that's on an independent label signs to a major label, fans lose their mind about it. They're like, well, these are my guys. I like them first. But can you really blame them for taking that shot?
Absolutely not.
You got to roll the dice, you know? Like, if you got a shot at a bigger paycheck, a bigger shot, a bigger audience, you got to roll the dice on it every once in a while, you know?
But sometimes you gotta do business the old way. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but sometimes you got to do business the old way.
The Bret Hart way?
Well, finish I agree with you, Ian. And that sort of thing.
The like Bret Hart way?
Well, sure.
Okay.
You know, they made a commitment, but it's one of those things where, you know, I'm sure both ways they probably battled it back and forth, man.
Well, yeah. Well, what
well,
I
here's
do...
Here's my question.
Go ahead.
Here's my question. What did Joe and Mike have to say about this?
That's, you know, again, business the old way. They have been private about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we don't know how they feel, and it really is just been between them and the fans at this point.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Yeah. Publicly, yeah. I know a few things, but it's not my place to say it, so I'm not going to say it. But anyway. I want to bring on to the show now. This is our wrestling roundup. I'm excited about it. We have the Pro Wrestling Illustrated editor-in-chief, Frank Kruda. I'm going to get him on right now if this works out. And also referee Jimmy Dillon from the UWF, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. And they are both on the line right now with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Guys, welcome to Hell in a Cell.
How you doing, Dean? Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and Jimmy is on as well. I'm really excited about this. This is our wrestling roundup. The first thing I want to throw out there for you guys is your feelings, the state of the WWE right now. And Frank, you start out.
State of the WWE? You know,
that's sum it up.
Silence speaks volumes, man.
You said it all.
I think the upper card with the return of Lesnar and Paulie has been, you know, a little more interesting than usual as of late. At the very least, you know, these kind of unforeseen surprises. I don't think anybody really expected Lesnar to be back night after Mania, although I'm sure, you know, at some point people expected him to be back. And I think Paulie showing up the last show was kind of a surprise too. But the interesting thing to me is with Lesnar's so-called very light schedule, you know, how strong can they keep him? In fact, they think they put him in a position in several ways where it's going to, you know, kind of be a little more difficult, probably than expected, to keep him looking strong. I mean, you know, as entertaining and as good as their match was at Extreme Rules, having seen it pin him is, you know, really kind of like a head scratcher to me.
Yeah, Jimmy, what about you? What's your opinion on the state of WWE?
I mean, I think that
you know, definitely it's just clearly different than what a lot of us grew up watching and what we're accustomed to. So when we see what we see today, yeah, it's hard to watch, and it's been hard to watch for the most part for a long time now. I think that, but at the same time, I agree that, you know, the shock value, the shock television, and things that just come out of nowhere can definitely create interest. And people were talking about the possibility of Brock making a return to WWE almost the moment that he lost that last fight in UFC. And, you know, even though I wasn't much of a fan, you know, of his initial, run with WWE, I'm screaming for anything now to bring back that spark. And I think that, you know, The Rock did it last year, and then they fell flat on it, you know, in the build up afterwards. And, you know, but even now, there's something new there to breathe some light there, and it was Brock Lesnar. And then I agree with Frank, they lost that momentum with having Brock lose at Extreme Rules, especially if seeing he was getting ready to take a little vacation or whatever. I mean, I just didn't understand that. But I'm left scratching my head on a lot of different things. That's just being, you know, a lifelong fan of the business, and you know, and now even starting to see things from the inside and learn and continue. And it's always a continuing and learning process, and have nothing but respect for the business. But still, we all have that inner fan in us, and that fan screams sometimes, and it screams when we sit back and we watch, you know, as spectators, and see some of the things that we see. You know, like when, you know, I was talking with you guys Saturday at the show about it, and, you know, we'll get into some of it tonight. But like even with Karma, you know, talking about the mid card and you know, her comeback, and we understand everything that's going on with her, but. You know, like I was really looking forward to her comeback being starting with her getting payback on the Bellas for even attempting to try to come for her last year. And, you know, now we're never going to see that. But, you know, all in all, I think that the state is, you know, it's well enough to continue on, of course. But It could always, you know, we as people from the outside looking in, we always, all of us are going to have an opinion on what could, you know, possibly be better.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I apologize. I'm dying to know who's the guy that you think should be moved up to that top tier, both of you. Who's the guy you should move up to the main card that will make the difference?
I think it's Dolph Ziggler.
Absolutely.
I just think he's, you know, aside from his skill in the ring and his character, this guy just looks and smells like a wrestler to me. It's kind of like the It Factor thing that Shawn Michaels talks about. You know, I'm not going to get in here and come on here and try and break down how he is as a worker. But to me, this guy just looks the part, connects the part, seems to connect with fans, you know, whether positively or negatively, and he just seems to have improved steadily for the last 18 months. At least that's the way I see it.
I mean, I agree. I think that Dolph is definitely the next breakout star. He opened my eyes in a lot of ways last year, but and also in addition, I've been pulling, as far as a singles wrestler, I've been pulling for Kofi for a while. I think that Kofi Kingston showed his worth a few years ago when he had a little program going on, you know, real brief with Randy Orton. He had one match with Randy Orton on Raw at the Garden. And if anybody remembers that match that Kofi had with Randy that night, I was waiting then. I said, Kofi just stepped out that night. I said, he just stepped out. He's next. And then, you know, it just didn't happen. Right. You know, WWE, they have quite a few people that are right there on the cusp. And I think right there at the top, though, you know, at the cream of that crop is definitely Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston. But, you know, but yeah, at the same time, I like Cody Rhodes and Alberto Del Rio also.
Well, Alberto Del Rio, certainly, I kind of look at him as being, even though he's been out with injuries and kind of working his way back toward the top, I kind of considered him being part of the you know, upper tier mix. But certainly Kofi, although they've kind of
kind of pigeonholed him a little bit as a one-dimensional, you know, jumping bean type guy. I think if they were to have him, you know, a little more of a rounded out presentation, I think he proved himself to be, you know, even more worthy of that spot. You know, certainly not abandon what he does best, which is aerial stuff, but in his matches, it seems that any time any opponent can keep him on the mat, he's at a disadvantage. I think in the recent match with Jericho on Raw, we saw that, but Kofi's another guy who puts out this vibe that fans respond to. Very popular, very high energy, very upbeat, and can certainly see him, you know, taking a step up.
Now, one of my issues with the WWE the last 2 years in a row, and I wanted to get your opinions on this, was WrestleMania and having to do with selection of match length and dark matches. Last year, they had the tag team title match as a dark match. I think that was a huge mistake. This year, they have somebody who's really, really over, and Santino Marella, and a U.S. title match, dark match, and then an 18-second world title match. I think, which were poor decisions on each show. What is your opinion on that?
I would agree with you there. It seems to me that over the past few years, WWE has become content to pour everything into their three, you know, main events, co-main events, whatever you want to call them, and just let, you know, whatever happens on the undercard happens, which I think is really kind of unfair to the wrestlers themselves, considering what WrestleMania means to many of the wrestlers. And also, it's kind of a blown opportunity, in my opinion. You know, it's the biggest card of the year in the business. You know, tons of exposure, mainstream and otherwise. And, you know, I think if you allow everybody on the show to put their best foot forward, everybody wins, especially the fans. You know, but I certainly, I agree with your point. It's 18-second world championship match on any card.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wins in that type of situation. I mean, to me, it's wrong on many different levels.
And I still don't see how I still don't see what the point of it was in the storyline they're trying to tell. I just don't get it.
Neither did I. And you know, it's kind of like I said. I mean, there's I can't see the benefit of that kind of a match in any way. I don't see where anything positive comes from that. Really don't. In fact, it was always somewhat satisfying to me to see the backlash. You know, not that I have anything against Sheamus and all, or, you know, but expecting Sheamus, I don't know if they were expecting Sheamus to come out of this like a super baby face, and, you know, but in reality, you know, fans immediately picked up on that yes, yes, yes chant, and, you know, I think they went to Europe not too long afterward, and Sheamus was getting booed and Brian was getting cheers. You know, it's supposed to be a homecoming of sorts for Sheamus since he's from Europe, but it's not the way it worked out. So it could be another case of WWE overthinking things, and which they tend to do sometimes. But at any rate, certainly didn't hurt Daniel Bryan.
No, not at all.
All right, Jimmy, did you want to chime in on that, or?
I mean, well, I don't know. I'm going on record on some of the sites that I do columns for, talking about the disrespect that I think some of the champions in general receive today. But then that goes for either the championships themselves or the champions holding them. I mean, I think that, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. And when you have the tag team champions on the pre-show at WrestleMania, I think that's disrespectful. I said that on every preview that I wrote about WrestleMania before it this year. You know, only because I think that all championship matches should happen on the show. You know, like I said, a lot of us have all done their fair share of fantasy booking or playing fantasy games or whatnot. And I've done a lot of all of that long before I even got into business. So I said, you know, we all can play with it ourselves. And for those who get it, you know, like I don't understand how you can do that to champions. And then we even saw it happen to them again the previous 3 weeks in a row on Raw, you know, 2 weeks leading up to the this past week of them losing the titles, last week of them losing the titles, and rather that be punishment for the Twitter, you know, complaining or whatever, who knows. But I think that, you know, if it is, still they had right to complain. It was right to talk about being on the pre-show to WrestleMania. It's you have a right to talk about, you know, Raw cutting back from commercial and the tag team champions are in the ring. What is that? I don't understand what that is.
Now, my next question is, and it's for both of you. I just wanted to talk about some great free agents, if you will, that are in the independent scene. Who would you pick as somebody right now on the independent scene? And when I say independent, I'm not talking about Ring of Honor, so not Adam Cole, not really Sami Callihan, like independent. The places that, you know, run in a fire hall, something like that. Some guys that are ready for either WWE or TNA.
Luke Robinson.
And Frank, you can start.
Luke Robinson.
Who?
Luke Robinson.
I'm not familiar with him. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, he was the runner-up for Tough Enough last season. Lost to Big Andy, who was since let go by WWE.
Yeah, that was too long.
Okay. He's been competing around the country, in fire halls and small shows, and I think this guy was pretty much WWE ready when he got off of that show. You know, at least in terms of character, and anyone who watched the series, I think, would agree that you know, he should have won it.
Agreed.
My next choice was going to be Sami Callihan, but since he doesn't qualify.
Well, because Sami, you know, he's on CZW, he does the PWS shows, that sort of thing, so I think he has enough exposure. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe okay. I'm just hyping them up a little bit too much. I really didn't want, like, Adam Cole or Sami, because those guys are, like, they should be in WWE, you know?
Okay. They're known quantities. Are you referring to, like, a diamond in a rough type of guy?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
Do you still stay with Luke, then?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Luke.
I would stay with Luke.
How about you, Jimmy? Who do you think?
Well, this question, of course, you know, for me is tough, and I wonder if there would be any tough questions that came my way tonight. Of course, I'm in the locker room and in the trenches with these guys. It's hard to ask me a question like that.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like any one of these guys could be the next breakout star. But I'll tell you this, you know, one of the things that I always do say, you know, about supporting indie wrestling and putting the spotlight on indie wrestling is respecting the groundwork in what indie wrestling is, being the breeding ground for the next stars, the stars of tomorrow. And, you know, basically what we have with the indies today is what the territory system was yesterday, you know, when we were all kids. And it still, you know, like I said, breeds, you know, talent that you see make it up to WWE or TNA or whatever the case may be. You know, so I'm going to have to plead the fifth on that, because there's just so many people. Like, I mean, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I say that because, you know, I'm tied in with five companies directly, you know, that I work for regularly, and I love every locker room, every one of those five locker rooms. I love them all. One other name that comes to mind that I might throw out there, even though he's going to miss close to a year of action, reportedly, is UHA Nation. I mean, basically you have a wrestler with the physique of a bodybuilder who can jump around the ring like Rey Mysterio, you know? And he's just got another, like, you know, big-time look.
and athleticism to burn. And hopefully he'll bounce back. I think he broke his leg and had to get surgery. But hopefully he can bounce back and he'll be out there too.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy too. I heard an interview by him on another program, and he's just like a really humble guy.
Yes, he is. We the Wrestler Volume 46, we did an introducing feature on him, and very humble young man, very hardworking, you know, like a lot of guys, but could certainly strut around like he owns a joint wherever he is, but he doesn't approach things that way. So it's always nice to see the humble guys, you know, kind of succeed.
Okay, Mark, you're up.
Now, you guys have a broad spectrum of people that you've seen that are really close. What's the one thing that most people are missing that would make the world of difference between them being the top indie guy and them making it to the WWE?
Okay. You want to take up one first, Jim?
I mean, I think that sometimes it's just about learning how to connect with the crowd. Sometimes it's definitely knowing, you know, ring psychology, how to work in the ring. And like I said, this is all a work in progress. You know, it's something that I'm learning on a daily basis. You know, more so than just watching it growing up. But being in the ring and being a third man or a fourth man, whatever, in the ring. For the last few years, you know, I can say that throughout the feds that I work with the most, it's just about mainly knowing about timing and psychology.
Now, I would agree with Jimmy's remarks 100%. You know, at the indie level, there are very many guys who look the same, who sound the same, and as he said, you know, there's still works in progress. So they haven't really mastered the art of connecting with a crowd, of creating a character that stands apart, and a lot of that sometimes I think is reflected in their actual in-ring work. I said, like someone like Uha, and I'm not saying this about him, but someone at his level who is very athletic could do a million high spots or a million different spots, but when you watch someone who's been in WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor at some point, you can literally see how those types of wrestlers can string it all together in a fluid motion, and you know, which enables them to tell a story while they're working. Many times, you have a lot of athletic guys on the indie level, as I said, but their matches look like a collection of spots. Where you can literally see them gear up physically to execute a move, or you know, maybe protect somebody coming off the ropes. It just, you know, it looks like sometimes, and not to be critical, but it looks like minor league wrestling as opposed to what we see on Monday nights or on pay-per-view. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. Dan, you're next.
I had a question about not so much the wrestling quality, but the television product. Do you think, and I know the WWE is trying to go for a much wider scale attention, but is PG, is family friendly going to work in that company?
No. I don't agree with I mean, wrestling is supposed to be a variety show. You can have a segment, you know, or a couple of segments of this show instead of filler or, you know, or just things that just don't make sense. Instead of, you know, guest hosts and things of that matter, it can, you know, it can be for, you know, proper push, you know, pushing of the undercard and things of that nature.
Right.
That's basically how I feel about that.
I agree with Jimmy. You know, I'm not saying it has to be the Attitude Era times 10 again, but there is such a thing as going too far in the opposite direction. And I can tell you, in my day-to-day job, I get dozens of emails a day, people complaining about the PG-13 approach. It's, you know, I might have been one of those emails. I even heard an interview with Triple H at one point, kind of defending the new approach, but also admitting that, you know, it's, they're going to have to scale back toward the Attitude Era type stuff. Maybe not as blatant or as, like, you know, in your face or shocking, but I think there's no question that you know, this PG-13. I mean, you know, they're still drawing 3.0 ratings that were higher or whatever. But you know, I just don't think it's. I don't think fans are going for it.
No, it's get to a point where you DVR the show, and then Dean, you can go again, and then you watch about a two-hour show for a half hour because A, the wrestling is not good, and B, first of all, don't let Eve speak ever again.
don't let Dean speak anymore. Okay.
Don't let Eve ever. Where's my wrestling?
Well, that's been a complaint for a long, long time, and but I'll tell you what I think would really tip things back to the way it was before. Let a second national company just even sniff a 3.0 rating for 1 week, and I think the biggest problem in the business is where the state of wrestling is. No competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, I watch.
That is the issue. That's it.
If you're not going to force, if you're not being pushed or forced to dig deeper, and you know, pull out all the stops week by week by week, you're not going to do it. And when you don't do it, everything becomes predictable, and tame, and quite frankly, boring. And you know, it's. You know, it's got to be pushed, especially in a creative endeavor. And, you know, it's easy to stagnate, easy to say, oh, well, you know, look, this has worked. You know, there's no one breathing down our necks. There's no need for us to, you know, invent new things, discover the next big thing. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I think the product suffers. And I think the ratings reflect that to a degree.
Okay, now my next question is, now, Frank, you and I were talking about this yesterday, I believe. It's about Smarks and how you think when Smarks look at the business, how it kind of ruins what they're watching. Now, how do you feel that Smarks are kind of ruining the business?
Well, first of all, the conversation we had yesterday was 50% tongue-in-cheek. So I may have overstated my case. You know, far be it from me to decide who's welcome to look at wrestling a certain way. I mean, we're all fans, and that's cool. My personal experience, having grown up in the 70s and 80s, before the internet age, before Vince McMahon revealed the business to everybody, there were a lot more surprises and, you know, things that I enjoyed back then that just because everybody thinks they're on the inside now are no longer around. And I think nobody ruins it for me. You know, I sit down and watch wrestling or I go to a show or whatever. I suspend my disbelief. I don't care if, you know, who I know is injured or whatever. I allow myself to be entertained. What I don't understand with these Smarks is why, what the appeal is of turning yourself into a critic, you know, or, you know, like why would a wrestling fan give half a crap about the ratings that TNA gets or doesn't get? You know,
yeah.
Like, sit down, enjoy the show, watch the show. All that inside stuff, it shouldn't matter to fans. I think some fans do it because they maybe it makes them feel smart, makes them feel like they're on the inside somehow. I mean, it sounds preposterous, but it was back in the late 90s when WOW magazine came out. and it took the smart approach and had a beautiful package and everything.
Yeah,
it was a very impressive magazine. I really didn't understand the appeal of that type of a magazine. And it's not that, you know, PWI is flawless and, you know, we've been around longer, so we're the best. It was more like, as somebody who's reading a magazine, why would I care what cereal Kurt Hennig eats for breakfast? Or why would I care if Bob Wooten Sr. was a starting small forward for his high school basketball team? That type of stuff to me is just like ruins the mystique of wrestling. You know, which during my lifetime, like, you know, I was a 5-year-old kid growing up in South Philly. Bruno Sammartino was my favorite wrestler. And all he carried with him to the ring was a bear hug. I didn't care. I don't care what kind of worker Bruno was. My favorite wrestler was defending his belt. He was champion 11 years. You know what I mean? I just don't, me personally, you know, in my opinion, I don't see the appeal of this type of stuff. And, you know, maybe it's me. It could very well be me. But and the other thing that I laugh at more often than not than anything else is, you know, the internet is full of, you know, 15-year-old chronic masturbating wrestling fans. It's the truth. And I'll give you a full example today. Today, another Triple H reference. I saw an item posted, I forget which site it was on, where it kind of pointed out that, you know, Triple H's appearance in Floyd Mayweather's corner the other night in that fight really didn't amount to much. And, you know, he was kind of outshined by Justin Bieber. And I scrolled down to the comment section, and there's a kid on there who writes, well, Triple H has ruined so many careers, and he's such a douchebag backstage that he deserves to get trumped by Justin Bieber. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this kid backstage? How does he know what Triple H is like backstage? How does he know how many careers Triple H is responsible for ruining or not ruining? And you have a preponderance of these type of people who think they know things and like to argue about it too. You know, and really they're uneducated and it's just kind of like I don't know, I take the attitude in our books, in our magazines, and mainly it's because of the way we do things is that I will be critical of companies and wrestlers based on the show, not based on things I don't know anything about. You know, I'm not going to sit there and pick apart Randy Orton's dropkick, let's say, because I don't know the first thing of executing a dropkick properly.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm a fat bald dude behind a computer, just like these kids are, just like these people are. But I have enough sense. I have enough sense not to talk out of school. And I think the whole internet wrestling community and the smart mark perspective just kind of, you know, kind of discourages or encourages people to talk when they shouldn't be. But then again, I'm hardly the arbiter of how wrestling fans should act. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, this question's for you. Now, you're involved with the UWF. I just wanted to know exactly how that works. Talk briefly on something. Unfortunately, it got edited out. But the UWF, well, the storylines, it's a combination of the hip-hop culture with professional wrestling. There in the storylines, people have been taken out. Just explain a little bit for people that haven't seen the product exactly what it is.
Okay, well, basically what you get with the Urban Wrestling Federation is a mix, like you said already, of hip-hop culture and pro wrestling for the hardcore wrestling fans, for the smarks that you guys are just talking about, you know, and traditional, you know, purists and all of that. You first and foremost have to take your mind out of that. If you want to even attempt to get into the UWF, this is the message that's brought from the gate, is to take yourself out of that frame of mind and, you know, and look at it for what it is and look at it for Think Grand Theft Auto meets pro wrestling. Think Def Jam Vendetta meets pro wrestling. And what you get is Steve Carroll's Urban Wrestling Federation. And you said that some people were taken out. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm an official, so I can only talk about, you know, certain things. I'm only able to talk about certain things that goes on in UWF. But what are you talking about? What do you mean taken out?
They were actually murdered.
Oh, that, yeah, well, that one time, that one time, you're talking about Rashi Brown, the guy who, he was crowned the first Street King champion. He won the tournament and was crowned the first champion. And, you know, basically, you know, it's all about the money in the UWF. You know, the message that they bring is that the ring is a new block. And you know, besides the championship that everyone, all the wrestlers created, there's a lot of underlying storylines going on between these different crews that are headed by the rappers representing their different sets. And you got New York represented, you got Miami represented, of course Atlanta, California, Texas, Houston, Chicago just jumped into the game a couple of months ago. And you have heavyweights like Cuban Link and Melly Mel that have been involved from the hip-hop world. And some heavyweights from the wrestling world, like Homicide and Rich Beast Ortiz, that have been involved. So basically, you know, you have to watch your head, you need to watch your body in the UWF, because you never know, you know, what's coming next around the next corner.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask real quick, Frank, a follow up to my earlier question about competition. What does Impact Wrestling have to do, or can they do, to liven up the competition?
Well,
if anything.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know, and I'm really reluctant to say this because I sound just like one of the smart fans I just ripped in 5 minutes. But when you look at the talent they have down there on the roster, and they have relatively firm financial backing, you can only look at the creative team for their problems, if you ask me. I just, occasionally they will put together a nice pay-per-view, but 9 out of 10 episodes of Impact Wrestling are very poor. I don't dislike them. You know, in fact, I'm rooting for them because, like you say, I would like to see some type of alternative or quasi-competition or whatever.
Right.
And I think, you know, a lot of things just go back, you know, kind of always lead back to Vince McMahon's experience. I mean, this is what this guy's done with his life, you know. Not with Dixie Carter, who has a lot of influence there, has done with her life. Or, I mean, I guess you could say Jeff Jarrett has, but, you know, I think, this is his wheelhouse. This is his niche. It's what he, you know, and he's become a billionaire doing it. And, you know, in fact, I think he's been so successful at it that he's gotten bored with it and decided to turn WWE into an entertainment conglomerate rather than a wrestling company. But I just see like chronic failures or inconsistencies or these convoluted angles and that are dropped in the middle of a program, or, you know, or revisited out of the blue with no teases or anything like that. It's really hard to make sense sometimes what's going on back there behind the curtain, you know. And
yeah,
and that's really, like, you know, I mean, you tell Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy go out there, have a match, and leave them to themselves, I'm sure they'll do great, you know. Or Kurt Angle and whomever, you know, they have a lot of talented people there. And I mean, to their credit, I think, you know, having, you know, allowing Bobby Roode and James Storm to a lesser degree emerge is you know, is a smart thing to do. But I don't know, you know, you look at a guy like AJ Styles. This guy should be the main event of every show, every week. And many weeks he's not even on it. You know, And
okay, Frank, just hold that. Frank, just hold that thought for a second. We're going to go into overtime. Just hang out with us for a second, guy. We'll be right back after this music break.
Okay.
Okay, we're now in overtime, guys. I just wanted to close out the regular part of the show. This goes on to the podcast, so everybody on iTunes will get the full show. Now, Frank, I do apologize for my rudeness there, but if you can remember where you were, just pick up where you were.
I think we were discussing some of the troubles TNA seems to be having. I think they need to use the talent they have more effectively. I really do. And again, you know, like I said, as loath as I am to second guess the people who do this for a living down there, I'm really kind of like baffled by the weekly episodic show. It's really a head scratcher. I mean, they have the production values, they have the talent. I don't know that staying chained to the impact zone as much as they are helps anything. I mean, it plays bigger than it really is on TV, but, you know, I'm almost of the mindset that, you know, barring financial limitations, you got to take the show on the road for pay-per-views. I mean, whether you paper it or, you know, shut half of it down or whatever to make it look like a fuller house on TV, whatever you got to do, but I think you got to infuse that you know, major events, big time feel into those shows, especially if you're going to be charging people $40 for them. You know,
do you think it's time? Unfortunately, that my favorite wrestler Sting, people like Ric Flair, people like that, it's time to get off TV.
Well, I don't believe that's the case with Sting. I think the Joker character that he portrayed kind of freshened him up a little bit.
Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. and also, you know, he's still relatively good in the ring. I mean, he doesn't embarrass himself. When it comes to Flair, who happens to be my all-time favorite wrestler, I think, and I just wrote a column in the July issue of PWI, which is on sale now. It's the thing that really discourages me about Flair is, you know, he's long been since the past the point where he physically, you know, he can't get it done or can't get it done looking good. But, you know, his promos lately have become really cliched. You know, once upon a time, instead of Ric Flair, you know, turning beet red, elbow dropping his coat jacket, throwing his shoes in the crowd, you know, hey, you fat boy. Yeah, you fat boy. You know, that stuff was gold at one time. But, you know, in my opinion, anyhow, it's just not entertaining anymore. And I also do have a kind of a like real problem with the stunt he pulled leaving WWE. You know,
oh, yes.
Going through that charade and then basically crapping all over it by signing with the competition. I mean, you know, it's a business and, you know, you got to do what's best for yourself and all that kind of stuff. So I get that, but it just kind of stunk a little bit, in my opinion. And believe me, I've bent over backwards to give Ric Flair the benefit of every kind of doubt there is. But, yeah, I will agree that it's past the point now.
Jimmy, what is your opinion? What does TNA, excuse me, Impact Wrestling have to do to get the competition on fire?
Well, definitely, I think number one is getting on the road. I mean, it's not much. I don't know the ins and outs business wise on how that whole deal goes with Orlando Studios, but I know the fact that you're not bringing in some kind of revenue for every body, every 18 inches or whatever it is for however many people you got in there, that's a problem. And, getting on the road and getting to your fans that are seeing you wherever nationwide and internationally is key. So that is, getting out of Orlando is first and foremost. And then, having a solid creative direction, is the other end of it, not so many, chiefs and more Indians. And, as the saying goes, Frank said a little while ago about storylines that just sort of drop off, without any kind of explanation or ending. And it happens far too much, and on both ends of the spectrum, TNA has done it several times. And one of the times that they did it that really made me upset as a fan was over the last couple of years when Abyss got abducted and he got beat up and thrown into the van, and I never really got to see what happened. Maybe I missed it because there's been times that I got so disgusted that as a fan I didn't watch anymore. But I don't remember seeing anything happen from that. And the same thing on the other end with WWE as far as, like, let's say just the anonymous Raw GM. Did he or she just all of a sudden just decide that they weren't going to, or they weren't going to chime in on Raw anymore? Or like I said, telling the fans last year in 2011 that this match between Triple H and Undertaker at WrestleMania 27 is the first time they've ever wrestled before, ever WrestleMania. Like no one old enough to remember WrestleMania 17 remembers that it happened. It is the entire event did not happen. So that's my take on that.
Okay. Oh, Jimmy, can I add something to that last point you made about the Phantom Triple H Undertaker match?
Yeah, go ahead.
The other day on WWE.com, they announced their debut Brazil tour for early May. And I'm thinking to myself, wait. Didn't Pat Patterson win the Intercontinental Championship in this tournament that occurred in Rio de Janeiro in 1979?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
How about it?
Oh, man.
On the same website too. I mean, it's,
It's like watching WCW Nitro 2000.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark. You're
all right. So I kind of have a gimmick every week. I ask a really bad gimmick match, and I've got two bad gimmicks facing each other this week. I'm dying to know what you guys think. Who would come out on top? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, it's for both of you. Now we've got Waylon Mercy taking on Meat. Who do you got?
Holy crap.
Wow.
I'd go with Waylon Mercy, experienced.
He was a Wily veteran. How about you, Jimmy?
I, at the end of the day, looking at Meat and thinking about every time I think about Sean Stasiak Stasiak Jr., I just think about him running into any random object now in WWE, and going with Dangerous Dan and the experience. I got to go with Waylon. You know what I mean?
Oh, fantastic! Thank you guys for answering that.
Okay, now is there any other topic that you guys wanted to personally bring up?
If I may, I would pitch our next issue of Inside Wrestling, the Wrestler Volume 48, on sale Tuesday. And you can order it at a discount from our website, which is www.pwi-online.com. And also, if I can give a shout-out to all promoters and wrestlers out there to remind them that the information submission period for the PWI 500 issue is now open. And you can also submit information through our website or at PWI500@kappapublishing.com. And the deadline is Monday, July 2nd, 5 p.m. After that, the submission period is over, and we gotta do the magazine based on the information we have in the house.
Okay. Jimmy, do you have anything you wanted to bring up?
I mean, just what any of the fans that's listening for the indie side that may have maybe in the areas coming up for in Pennsauken, New Jersey, DWF Local has their show coming up this Saturday. As a matter of fact, this Saturday night, 7:30, Locked and Loaded 2, and DWF Local with Doc Diamond's crew out there with Devastation. They're doing a lot of good things there. That show this past month for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, raising money, trying to raise thousands of dollars for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And they're going to be continuing their efforts and everything that they do this Saturday. Also, for the fans and any fans listening in Red Lion, the Red Lion area, Red Lion, PA, Valor Wrestling coming to you Saturday night, May 19th at 7 p.m., and the fans in Oakland, New Jersey, who know about Beast Wrestling. Beast Wrestling will be returning to you Friday night, June 8th at 7 p.m. And since you guys brought up the Urban Wrestling Federation, our sixth national pay-per-view premieres Sunday night, May 27th at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. We'll replay starting at 11 and 8 Eastern and Pacific. Check out the UWF. Definitely, like I said before, an alternative to all pro wrestling now, and for fans that, if you want to see good in-ring action, definitely check out Turf War Sunday, May 27th.
All right, guys. I just wanted to say thank you from...
Yeah, big thank you.
Yeah, from the bottom of our hearts. We all enjoyed this. I want to make this like a monthly thing. We're going to switch in and out people. Definitely going to have you both back on in the near future.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for having me on. Had a good time. Be happy to do it again.
All right. And
thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, this was a great night. So I do thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that was Pro Wrestling Illustrated Editor-in-Chief Frank Kruta. That was the referee Jimmy Dillon. Wow.
By the way, just let me interject. Jimmy Dillon, I love that guy. Between Sunday and tonight, that he is just one of my guys now.
Well, yeah, he is affiliated with a few people that we know.
He's a working man.
He is. He is all over the place, all over the internet. Now, if you want to follow Frank on Twitter, I believe he goes by
official.
Yeah, at official PWI.
Sorry.
And Jimmy Dillon is the one Jimmy Dillon. And that's the number one. So don't spell it out. It's the one, the number one, Jimmy Dillon. We also have ECWAProWrestling.com to find out more of what's going on with Mike Tartaglia and Ooh La La. That's where you can find that out. And we're also part of the BradyHicks.com. I do want to bring that up, and Brady has been great. But guys, let's break it down. How do you feel about tonight?
It's censored. First of all, Mr. Ooh La La was a fantastic interview. Ophidian is from another world. Well, he's from another time, literally.
Yeah.
And those were great interviews. Tartaglia, you'll get yours coming to you soon. I can almost guarantee that. And Frank and Jimmy, I to ask those questions, I got 1,000 more just to talk about wrestling, because he was right. You can't walk into a place and just talk about wrestling anymore because of other certain other people look at you weird. And it's great to be able to talk, and for people to listen, to hear us talking about this is it's a great opportunity, and it was a great interview. And I'm so glad he liked Sting. It makes me feel so much better. I thought I was the only one laughing at it.
Now, how about you, Mark? How'd you feel about tonight?
No, I'm not.
Once again, I personally am just excited to be a part of the show. And every week it feels like it gets a little bit better. Like something new happens, something exciting happens.
It does.
Whether it's us interviewing a time traveler. just another few breaking out on the phone. I feel like really we come away with a lot. And then after that craziness, we wrangle it in, right? And we talk about the state of wrestling as it is.
Yeah.
What I couldn't do in the last 4 years, I am now accomplishing here in a month.
It's a tad bit ridiculous.
Did I say that?
Yeah. I'm not going to bring that up, but what I do want to bring up, Dan, is another feud that you're in, if you will.
Another feud?
I'm
not a wrestler, damn it.
You and the Greek god Papadon. What's it all about? What is that all about, Dan?
What are you talking about?
Well,
sorry, I'm eating pizza right now.
Last week you made the pizza comment.
Listen, this, and I will go on record, and I know he's going to hear this.
I'm going to make a YouTube video so he can hear it quite easily, yeah.
Oh, good, watch it.
I apologize. Have a picture of a fat guy with a T-shirt on.
that will be the picture. I'll send you a picture
of my dong. Anyway, I simply stated, my original quote was going to be, after Kokoa called in while Papadon was shooting on him, was...
It was a bit of a shoot, too.
It was a slight shoot. Was that, and now the dog has to go to the bathroom. Go away. That he can go back to making pizza and Kokoa could go back to washing dishes. You guys stopped me halfway through the comment and made it sound like I only attacked Papadon. He heard that. and I'm dead. He's going to kill me. Now, I've apologized. I've apologized once. I apologized twice. I told him, quite frankly, he didn't accept my apology. That made him angrier, so I apologized the third time. I don't know what to do. I'm a dead man. I'm not going to apologize again. You know what? I'm not a wrestler, but I'm a man, dang it, and I'm not going to apologize again. I'm not apologizing four times.
Dan, why didn't you just ask a smart, humble question like I did during the show?
I did ask a nice question, and then all I was going to say... Whoever wins, they can go back to doing it. It was a throwaway line, and you guys got me in trouble.
Oh,
you.
So now
you're
blaming...
That's your fault.
You're blaming us for
it. Yes, I'm blaming you guys.
Oh, my goodness. Well, when I went to the show on Saturday night...
Yes, I saw your picture.
Papadon pulled me by the scruff of my neck...
Good.
...and said, here. He goes, you're friends with that Dan guy, huh? I said, yeah. Dan and I are tight. He says, well, you tell him... He said, no. Here, give me a piece of paper. You got that notebook. You look like a nerd. Here. Give me a piece of paper.
You do look like a nerd. He was right.
Yeah.
Like a nerd. Yeah, that's true.
He should have seen me on Sunday. Well, that was a get-up. My God. Anyway.
I had a dumpster.
Anyway, so he grabs a piece of paper, writes a note, has me take a picture, and on that picture it says, Dan, you are dead.
No, actually it says you're dead. Proper English, yeah.
So, wow.
So, like I said, I apologize. I sincerely apologized. I got blown off. I had my life threatened. The man is a wrestler. I'm not a wrestler. I'm going to take the Bobby Heenan approach. I'm not a wrestler. I'm a broadcast journalist.
There you go. And we all are. And, you know, people want me to get in the ring with Grey Wolf, it seems, because I don't like anything that guy does.
I just calls him like I see them.
Exactly. You know, he's a jabroni.
Except for Tartaglia. Well, here's my problem. I have all the respect for Papa, for Papa Don. He is a great champion. I mean, who could deny that? Look at his title reign. Look at the titles he has. Look at what he's accomplished.
Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer already. He's probably younger than me. And he's accomplished so much already in the wrestling business, and I am just little old harmless me. But when you sold that belt to Tartaglia, that was just a bad move, in my opinion. And he'll get his, Tartaglia.
Well, it was like I was saying, too, Dan. Tartaglia has given away the gate for two consecutive months now. He gave away the gate to the Super 8 to win the Battle Royal, but Ooh La La was still in and tossed the boss. And then he gave away the gate to win, in quotation marks, the Mid-Atlantic title.
Oh, no, he'd be good cover for that.
And then, in June, he's going to give away the gate to have a date with Stacy Carter.
Well, I got news for you. I'll give away my week's paycheck to Mr. Ooh La La to protect me, and my other week's paycheck for a date with the Carter.
You know what, though?
Probably is more.
Ooh La La, as wily a veteran as he is, you might want better protection. Because
I got Kakoa is not around anymore.
No, Kakoa is around. Kakoa is around. He's going on tour, though.
Well,
so.
You know what? I got news for you. He's seen this little Twitter war, and not once has he stepped in for me.
What I'm really coming to terms with here, Dean, is that next week, Dan won't be a part of the show, but Landahl 83 will be joining the show. Whole new person who has no feud with Papa Don at all.
Huh?
Landahl, ladies and gentlemen.
Landahl, everybody, who's Landahl?
I have no idea what that meant.
I'm thinking fitness protection, man.
Oh, I get what you're, yes, I get what you're saying. There's gonna be a, Dan won't be, I won't be here, but my
second cousin Landahl will be here.
Yes, my second cousin Landahl, who was actually born in 1938 and is extremely old. he's gonna be here talking wrestling, and I will be hiding in a corner somewhere, and nobody can find me.
Now, before we go ahead, I cut you off there. What?
I was asking for another slice of pizza.
Was Dan just abducted by Papa Don? What happened there?
That's what it sounded like. I was worried for his safety.
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
Thank God I don't live where I used to live.
Well, Mark, we got into it a little bit earlier in the show, but what did you think about the live episode? I know we both have been quoting certain things we said during the show. What was your overall impression, though, of the show, of actually being there behind the scenes at New Moon Rising Wrestling?
Okay, so here's how this goes. When we went into that, Dean, there's a good chance that that was going to be a gigantic cluster F.
Yeah.
Like, the world had never seen, like, we were going to let down New Moon Rising Wrestling, and they were going to be like, oh, hey, the two goons we put by the dumpster, don't let them into the next show. But I feel like it turned out better than I could have possibly imagined. I've listened to that podcast twice now, and everyone is just so fun, and it's really just an entertaining podcast. And then the matches themselves, just really, just, I get why you're into this, man. You won me over at that show.
Yeah. Now, what happened at the show, the Me Society pretty much took over during the Night Court segment, and the entire show, they're just doing things their own way. They punished...
Scheduling matches, telling people who they're fighting?
Exactly. Well, Justin America beat up poor old American Roughneck. He stands alone. He's a man of the people. And the people apparently got beat down.
Clobbered with an air tank.
Oh, it was... oof.
As I stated, it was kind of like a David Lynch film in there.
It really was. Like, lights were flickering, and
there was a
disco
ball, and all of a sudden someone was breathing oxygen, and someone was bleeding out of their mouth.
It was bizarre, but a great show. Nigerian Nightmares, even though they were suspended, they still showed up. Just,
by the
an
way,
amazing show.
Super excited to have them on the show now. Those guys are intense. That was terrifying.
You finally got to see them in person, and once you see the Nightmares in person, you almost become a fan, even though you're very intimidated by them.
You have to be a fan, or they'll kill you. You have no choice. I don't want to be on their bad side.
Now, what impressed you the most about New Moon Rising Wrestling?
Oh, man, what impressed me the most? I got to be honest. The quality of the whole event itself really kind of blew me away. Like, because, you know, you kind of, it in my head, it's like independent wrestling. Like, I didn't quite know what to expect. Because it's not like you're going to ECW, like, which was the that third tier we talked about on the Sunday show we did before it, you know?
Yeah.
But here I am watching a story arc unfold. I'm watching matches that are amazing, and I just really feel like it's like, why isn't this what I get on Monday nights?
Yeah. Why isn't this what we are paying for on TV?
Exactly, because sometimes it really felt like when I was watching, I was like, man, I am more entertained here than I am every Monday night.
You were almost involved by the end of the night because of that brawl that broke out.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, my guys from the Empire are in a battle two seats down from me. There's a trash can. There's trash everywhere right next to me. I didn't know. Dean, I got to be honest, little nervous. Little nervous I was going to get hit with a chair.
We almost had Ron Starr fall in our lap.
Absolutely.
But it was an amazing card. I wish them the best in the next show, which is June 30th at this point.
I got to be honest. I got to make sure I can make it to the next show.
June 30th in beautiful Woodbury, American Legion, post 133.
June 30th. Hmm.
Yes, June 30th.
Comes after June 29th.
It does. Now, you guys have anything else to bring to the table?
Please don't kill me.
I'm not.
Not you.
Oh. Oh.
Wow, we're back on that, huh?
It is.
Seriously, Dan, why don't you just plead to him right now?
I'm not going to plead to him again.
Yeah, but maybe it makes a difference if he hears your sad voice.
Please don't kill
don't
me.
Don't use that laugh.
You're the greatest wrestler ever. You're the greatest thing ever to hit the wrestling ring. Please don't kill me.
Mark,
please.
Now, you have an invitation, Mark. You want to go drinking with some of your new boys.
Oh, my gosh. This was the best part of my week. So, after we did that interview with Empire on the Sunday pre-show, I said to you immediately, I was like, man, I want to get S-based with these guys. So then we started talking about it, and I found them all on Twitter. I followed them. I retweeted them right away. I was like, these guys are it. These guys are my guys. And then you retweeted it, and I was like, I want to get S-faced with them. And Ty Reno goes, yeah, man, anytime. Oh, my gosh, that's my favorite time to drink, Dean.
Anytime.
So
my favorite time to drink. So I can only imagine.
What a coincidence. Me too.
Only imagine that there's going to be the greatest night of our lives where Hell in a Cell gets together with Empire and we're just drunk in Atlantic City.
And then we wind up in Brooklyn somehow.
And then we black out again and we're in Mexico with matching tattoos. Drinking that blue stuff. They
and there's a dude missing
the
on the roof. And then there's a dude missing on the roof.
Anyway,
playing in the air tonight.
My goodness, let's just throw out ECWAProWrestling.com, NMRWrestling.com. They have a big thing coming up this weekend with the Monster Factory. org. They're having tryouts for the reality show that they're doing. So everybody, keep an eye out on the website. They're going to put up promos and some videos and whatnot of the of some of the people that are involved. We're also part of the BradyHicks.com.
Woohoo!
The show will be on there tomorrow. So tomorrow, 9:30, that's when it goes up. Check us out there. And also, PWI-online.com. Ophidian, you can find at twitter.com at Ophidian Cobra. And that is O-P-H-I-D-I-A-N. You can also find them at Facebook, facebook.com/Ophidian.
Why? Because we love you.
Facebook.com, Ophidian the Cobra. D-Line, they pitched it, but here it is. It's at D-Line, B-L-K-R-E-D. Frank Kruta is, of course, at Official PWI, and that's Twitter.com. And Jimmy Dillon is the one, the number one, Jimmy Dillon. So, guys, another great week. Next week, what do we got?
I don't know.
We have the Nigerian Nightmares coming on.
Oh, high five.
I might, yeah.
Along with your transition.
Might have to take over for me next week.
Yeah. So Nigerian Nightmares and their translator will be here because, of course, they do not speak English. Yeah.
That'll work. Awesome.
They're captivating
radio.
They
I don't speak English either.
It's they still real to me, damn it.
They don't speak English.
Dean, did you get that other thing
it's
I asked?
It's still real to me, damn it.
Well, not yet. Anyway,
so wait, you're saying they don't speak English?
They don't speak English. Unfortunately, the button is gone right now. But
oh!
Does Land Doll speak English?
Damn it!
I'll give you a little story, and it was just kind of weird because the person that said it to me, we're there about now, and this is at the New Moon Rising Wrestling Show.
Yeah, I know this person.
We're out by the dumpster.
No. This is when we were still inside trying to get things set up.
Oh.
Now the person in question is doing the lineup in front of me. Now, what the lineup is, that's the matches and who's going over, that sort of thing. Any type of run-ins, all that, doing it right in front of me. 2 hours later, this same person says to me with a straight face that the Nigerian Nightmares don't speak English.
Correct.
You did the lineup in front of me. Going over all the stuff.
I remember this.
2 hours later, and I even looked him in the eye, and I said, they don't speak English, huh? And he said, nope, they don't speak English. Now, I met... never mind, I'm not going into that part of the story.
No, sir. Not getting out of that one.
I'll say this off air, but it was just... come on! You did the lineup in front of me.
Yep.
So what you're saying is they don't speak English.
They do not speak English, Dan.
It's more of a French.
English is actually, see, if people did their homework, English is the official language of Nigeria. That, yeah, it's the official language of Nigeria. Because
hey,
it was
no shit here.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so for some reason they don't speak English. I'm going to believe it for now.
I don't speak English either.
We're also going to be joined by Empire. Watch out for that one.
Oh, my God. Do you know how excited I am about talking to Empire, Dean?
No, I'm excited.
And we're going to keep it at two interviews because this week was just overbooked. I loved every minute of it, but a little bit overbooked.
We got through it. We both got through it a lot.
We get on a roll with everyone, and who wants to wrap up the interviews we're having?
Yeah.
I really do agree. But this was an amazing show, and My goodness. I really don't know what else to say about the talent we had on tonight, how much fun it was, and anybody else just want to take the handle just for a second because I'm going crazy.
Just thanks to everyone for listening. Seriously, this past month has just really been explosive for us. It's really been a hotbed of information and learning for everyone involved. So
we learn things.
We do. And Dan and Mark, I want to thank you both because it was really only 6 days between the time that I said we're doing it and then it went to air. God knows what was going to happen, but I think good things are happening already.
We didn't even have a pre-call. We just were like, let's do it at 9:30. Okay.
Yeah, it was. But the thing was,
Dan, go Thompson. Go Thompson, Dan Law. Okay, go.
And that's really what it was, too. And the thing that was really cool about that first show was it was the first time all three of us collectively worked together. And it really just worked out so well. And I think each week we're getting a little bit better. So
hey guys, I love you guys.
I love both of you too.
Okay.
I at least love Dean.
Hey guys, I love you too.
You know what, Mark? I think now is the time to for you to tell us a tale of the last meeting that we had.
Oh man,
I've been waiting to hear this.
We'll do it on air because it's a very
save it for our debut BS episode.
No, this will wet the palate.
Okay. We have an announcement coming soon, but go ahead, go Thompson.
So I'm telling the last time we talked before all of this.
Well, because we did actually see each other at the Trocadero.
Yes.
Remember you were
Trocadero.
Really drunk. It was a zombie thing. So we did see each other after that, but this was the last time.
Yeah.
This was the last time we were in person before the Trocadero.
Now, mind you, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, this was 40 years ago.
No, this was 2004, 8 years ago.
It was. We're still a thing, and, you know. You still wanted to buy the special edition DVD of something.
I had the flip phone. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing was, I was about to move 2,500 miles away to Las Vegas. So, Mark, pick it up from there.
I don't know if it does it justice without, like, the huge backstory, but one day I'll tell the huge backstory.
For the other project that we have in mind. But go ahead.
Oh, man. So, basically, I haven't talked to Dean in a while. And I bump into him at a chain CD store in the Cumberland Mall.
Wait, what was the store now?
YFE.
Oh, I was going to say, it's not defunct.
It wasn't Sam Goody, no.
Okay.
No, but it might as well be defunct. Because who buys CDs anymore, am I right?
I buy CDs.
So do
I them.
Because I'm such a nerd.
Yeah, okay, well, we're both nerds then. But go ahead, you bump into Dean, and I bet that hurt.
And we're, like, kind of, like, going through, you know, the motions of, like, a couple that broke up and bumped into each other for the first time in a while. Oh, hey, man. How have you been? Oh, you know.
I still have your shirt in my drawers.
Good. How are you? It was really awkward. It was really weird. And, like, you know, like, it felt like the last time we were ever going to talk.
It really did, though. No, it really did.
Like, we reminisced about, like, the good times. We used our catchphrases as much as we could. Like, good looking out.
Good looking out.
Good looking out. And
good looking out.
I think there was a hug. There was definitely a hug.
There was a hug. A rather awkward half-hug thing.
Who grabbed whose butt?
Neither.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It was a lot of manly shoulder slapping. Because we both wanted to prove to the other one. We're like, no, I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a man. Trying to burp each other like babies.
Babies were taking care of other babies.
Yeah, babies that were taking care of other babies. Just burping each other and in the middle of a CD warehouse. It was this really weird, like, moment, like, where it was like, after I walked away with it, I don't know if you felt the same way, Dean, but, like, it's like, man, I'm never going to talk to that guy again.
It didn't feel that way. And you have to bring up, like, how the crisp winter day it was, and snow started falling very gently to the ground. It was so...
I assume someone made a documentary or, like, a bad student film about our last meeting.
Oh,
I assume that person that made a bad student film about our last meeting got an A in their class as opposed to the C-minus we got in...
the original Brokeback Mountain.
In the class where we did the Valentine's Day special.
Oh, God. Oh, let's not talk about that.
Well, I think that's a future episode.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm glad you both are in my life. And, well, I think on that note of whatever the hell that was.
that was an online BJ.
Yeah, we're going to – and subscribe in iTunes. There. I made a segue. Rather
hey, follow me on Twitter at DANLAW83.
Follow Mark at Go Thompson.
I didn't even have to do mine.
Follow me at Folsom County.
And follow us at HIAC Talk Radio.
That's right. So, guys, another fantastic episode. Until next week.
I love you.